bless us this morning with your pure word. We pray for constant renewal of our minds. We pray that the wisdom of God will have its effect in every aspect of our being, on our spirit, on our souls, on our bodies, in the name of Jesus. Let the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding remain with your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you all. You can be seated. You can be seated. Amen. Okay. So I'm beginning. How many of you have been listening to the messages? How many? If you have listened to the message this week, lift up your hands and let me see. If you have not been listening, lift up your hands. Oh, be truthful, you're in the house of the Lord. Okay. So last week I started talking about something, and I'll continue, but let me say this before. Yeah, so I want you to place a lot of value on the messages. It doesn't take anything to listen to the messages. Like, I mean, passively you can. It's just like as you're walking about, you're playing Shatawale song, or how do you call it? Stone Boy. Any of those songs. Sometimes you don't, but you unknowingly, sometimes you don't even consciously say that you are learning the song. But because the song keeps on playing, or you keep on hearing it, you know that this is from Shatawale. You can even say some of the words. That is even with your passive listening, because I don't think you make time to actively listen. But passively, you picked the words and all that. When the scriptures speak about being occupied, for instance, meditate on the word of God day and night, or pray without ceasing, what do you think it means? Let's take it literally. If you are praying without ceasing, what is it like? Describe how it's going to be. That means you are not going to do anything. But that's not what it actually meant. If there was that possibility, that's fine. You could pray and everything is just working for you. But you are going about your daily work. How will you meditate day and night? And if it was not possible, the scriptures would also tell you to do the same. So it's trying to communicate to you that the Lord should be the priority. He should be the one that you look up to in everything. You want him to be fully involved in everything that you do. That will be the only way that your meditation could be upon him. Do you think David was all the time, let's say, thinking about God? Was he not at the war? But whatever he was doing, whether then at the battlefield, or whether in the family house, or whether on top of the roof.
Preach.
Hallelujah. David's rooftop ministry. Whether on top of the roof or whatever, he says that meditate on the word of God day and night. So despite your activities, we need to activate that. You know, your spirit has a way of picking up things. And many of the things that we learn, they are not things that we are now getting to know. No. They are things that we are already aware of. But that consciousness is deep is deep within your spirit. But now, that consciousness has to be translated into your soul for it to even have its effect bodily. You see? Then what is the purpose of God's word? He said that he made us with his word. Either he already recreated you with his word. So if it is the word of God that you're looking for, he calls it an engrafted word. So it's not really something strange or something new that you are now trying to put into your head. But rather, it's like you having movie tapes or sound tapes. You have it, it's in your possession. What you need to do is to play, and that would involve the mind. That's why the scripture makes it clear that be transformed by what? The renewal of your mind. So it's like your mind is the Walkman. How many of you remember Walkman? How many of you know Walkman? Walkman. Okay, those days. Small, with tape, you can. Then, when technology was advancing, then it became what? MP3 player. And then later, MP4. Then later, iPod. iPod. Yes. And now, you have your phones, everything. Everything is there. How many of you know that you can access a lot of information here? How many of you know you can access a lot of information? And every day, we access so much information. I heard a preacher talking about some, giving some strange statistics, and you marvel the kind of information that believers access. I think Pastor Israel has mentioned it before. This time I heard it from myself. The information that believers access through their phones. So you have all it takes. You have the player. The player there. But what station do you tune yourself to? Or what particular tape do you want to play? The player can play anything. So that is what is causing so many problems in our lives. Because many people are not living from the life that is within. He said, let us lay aside all filthiness and superfluity or overflow of naughtiness. He said you should lay it aside and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to what? Transform your souls. So we need to look at that transformative life. What it is saying is that there is nothing like nothing is going on. Are you getting it? There's not, even as a child of God, because he was communicating to them, he said, lay aside or throw away every form of what? Filthiness and the overflow of naughtiness. So it means that if you are not engaging the life that is deep within you, or the life that you have received from God, if you are not having interaction, you are not having fellowship with the Spirit of God, it doesn't mean that, oh, you are just there. It opens you up for many other things. And the scripture says that it is what? Nothingness. Or it is filthiness. It becomes what? Like, you become flesh driven. Amen. I hear. So I want us to look at that particular aspect of our lives and let's have it checked. I listened to the messages myself. And whenever I listen, I get blessed by it. Sometimes I do send to those that are connected to me that, oh, listen. Listen to the message. It's just a way of awakening what is already deep within you. So the activities of men has been the hindrance to their manifestation. Like many activities that we are involved in. Many a times, it is not very spiritual. Many a times, the activities are not spiritual. So a man can have so much knowledge, you might know so much, that your impact might be less. It will not be proportional. Because you've not made it a point to interact with the one that called you. Look at the level of interaction. You know, let me use Father Abraham as an example. You have received the word of the Lord. You shall have your own son. That is the word of the Lord to you. 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 11, 12, 15, and still counting. The average person might even forget about the word and will just accept the situation. That is not how the fathers walked. Even when they had not experienced whatever has been spoken to them, they still believed and interacted with the word. That is the difference. So, you know, it's beautiful when believers get excited that he that is least in the kingdom is greater than John. And you know as you are saying it that it is not true to you. Like the word of God is true. But as you are saying it, hey, Charlie, am I? It's not like Jesus is old. Jesus was bold. Are you saying that you are greater than Jacob? Or are you saying that you are greater than? He was bold. I am. But you cannot say that. Maybe you pass through what Jesus said. Said he that is least in the kingdom is greater than John. And John, being the greatest amongst men born of what? Women. See, like we have to come to that place. Like I told you last week, I was sharing, I mentioned something to you that look, what is the purpose? What is your intention for prayer? You see, many of the prayers that we are praying, it's just selfish what? Give me, give me, give me. It's like, Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy. Yeah. That is the reality. It is the reason why when you get outside there, now you say that there is no God. Because you now... Oh, Jimmy. Because every time, give me, give me, give me, give me. That's how it sounded. Like, you get there and then when you go back to the West, they're full. Because when you were here, the situation... Oh, things are hard, so everything. That is the reason why you can pray. So somebody can say, Charlie, I pray for, and everything. There's nothing about fellowship. There's nothing about knowing the Lord. There's nothing about contemplation or meditation. Contemplative prayers, meditative prayers. There's nothing like that. You see that even the ones that we say we have prayed by, when we feel that, okay, we are sweating. And usually, the motivation for that energy is what you are going to get in return. Or because you know that something is chasing you. So when you know that something is chasing you, try and then you run with what? some kind of fear. So it's nightmare kind of prayers, and more of like, how do you call it? Our selfish, like the things that we feel we want. It is not communion. It is not communication. When Paul was talking, he said, pray with all manner of prayers. So there's all manner of prayer, but your own is just this one. Your own is just this one. So now when you get into a place, an environment where all provision is made for you, you say that you are in heaven.
Preach.
Is it practical? Like, you say that you're in heaven, you get to Dubai, say, hey, wow. You are in heaven until the rains come, then you realize that, Charlie, hey. God is there. Even if it's caused by the acidity of the atmosphere, like, you know that, Charlie, there are disasters, then reasoning, you start reasoning that, hey, upon all the beauty, the glamour and all that, you have to fear God. That is when it will come to you. So some of this, when it comes to us, you see, it wakes us up. It wakes us up. It's just like somebody that will say that, okay, let me have fun, let me enjoy, I want to have sex.
Preach.
I want to have fun. I want to, and the fun is sex, beer, money, or liquor, beer or liquor. I mean, sex, what? Beer. I know the preacher that wrote an entire book on that. Sex, money, and then what? Beer. Yeah, naturally, like, that is the good life for many. So you are enjoying until the gono comes.
Okay.
Or you're you have no idea. Like,
you are preaching.
You're enjoying until you don't know. Then You start, like, you'll be caught up into what? Remembrance, into visions of the past. It's like, now you are tracing, where did I get it from? Like, what happened? So it was all joy until what? I told you of my motor rider. Then I used to like motors a lot. Usually he comes to drop me here. He said, oh, he just tasted a drink. Like, it was like Sobolo, like Sobolo, just for fun. But, and the experience was good, but he realized that the processing power was too much. He could feel the energy in his body. He was strong. Either, you see, so an introduction, like he took the Sobolo drink, but it's mixed. I'm not saying Sobolo. Sobolo is good. Hibiscus tea is fine. It's fine. But I'm talking about a certain Sobolo.
Okay.
A certain Sobolo. They mix it. It's called Shokai. Oh, okay. The thing shocked his brain. He said he felt the strength. He realized that he was strong. I learned it's one of the reasons why sometimes the Rastafarians are strong, like,
okay,
when it comes to, like, you feel the energy. But then he realized that as a normal person, you can't think about 20 things in 1 second. In his mind, like, he realized he could think about 20 things in 1 second. Like, he was processing. And then the heavens opened, and he started seeing colors.
Jesus.
Different colors. And then he saw something like a ladder. He saw Jacob's ladder. Encounter. He saw Jacob's ladder. So he said, he feels like climbing, you know. He feels like climbing a ladder. But then his mind, you see, he was thinking about many other things as well. He was thinking about many other things as well. So he said, the colors were beautiful, rainbow colors, and the thing was like he wanted to climb. But then something was also telling him that, why is it that everybody is not climbing and they are walking? And he is, so that was what was preventing him. He would have like fallen down, like he wanted to climb. Yeah, because what he was seeing, you're not seeing, he's seeing beautiful colors. He's seeing like heaven, rainbow. Then he felt strong. One thing he said, he looked at the people, they were all driving their motor, people are sitting in their cars. He was wondering, what are they doing? Like, instead of them holding their motor to push. So he said, he didn't understand what they were doing. So he held his motor and he was pushing because he felt very strong. Instead of riding the motor started riding him. Then the last one, he said, someone picked him. And there's a route. Well, my place, Lakeside, you can easily connect to Ashaiman. There's a very nice route that connects to Ashaiman there from the back. Then, when the person picked him, they are just going to Ashaiman. It's just like 15 minutes or if you are using a route or 20 minutes. Then he came to pass through the mall. He came backwards. Came to pass through Ashanipotri. Then came to American House. Then went to pass through Legon. Then to the mall. And he started using the motorway to Ashaiman. And the person was asking that why. He said, he knows the way. Like he's taking him. So it was when they got to a place closer to Ashaiman, the man realized that no, the guy is not correct. So the man told him that, he should. He'll get down. He'll continue himself. He said he thought everybody was abnormal. Why? Because of an introduction of something that altered. So he thinks it's normal. You don't know. He thinks it's normal. So people, naturally, men are just interested in what? Beer, sex, and then what? And they only come to realization. So as you are growing, then later something hits you. A certain sickness comes. Then you go and then doctor tells you that, your liver, it looks like your liver has been destroyed by alcohol. That's when now you try to find ways and means of cutting it down and all that. Because you are now seeing the consequence. When you were having the fun, you didn't see the end coming. Hallelujah. We need to really wake up and we need to be sound as a people. And if you are not having interaction with the engrafted word, like what is that which is within, it is only more of like God bringing into your memory. You know, Watchman Nee taught a lot about the nature of the human spirit, soul, and body. I think that's what a lot of people actually know. You see, there is that aspect of your being which has to, I mean, that place of that constant fellowship, that place of the conscience or the conscience of man, and then that place of the intuition. So imagine the person engaging with other things. Now you end up numbing all the spiritual sensitivities or your spiritual sensations. So there are certain people, the Bible calls, it's like they have seared their conscience with what? Like hot iron. Like they have numbed the place. Like, so now if they are involved in wickedness or they are involved in it, there's no sense of judgment. Your mind is no longer telling you that it is wrong or right, because you have involved yourself in that evil to the point that now it's like it's normal. You've taken it like that. There's no sense of what correction within you. That is what happens to many believers that that are described as fleshy. Many believers that are described as fleshy. Some can sometimes find themselves a little bit calm due to maybe their temperament and all that. But you have no idea the kind of life that will flow out if given opportunity. You realize you'll be full of carnality. Despite the special abilities of the person, the individual. Are you here with me? So a man can be so gifted. A man can be so gifted, and there are a lot of examples. A man can be so gifted, and yet with certain bad character. Why? Because you cannot equate the spiritual gifts to the fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You cannot equate them. They are two different things. So you don't look at a man and say that, this person is very deep. You are appreciating the gift and giving glory to God. But you'll be so surprised that such same person can easily become more fleshy. And sometimes in the display or the demonstration of the gift, there's a lot of fleshiness. There's a lot of carnality. So when you see Paul trying to address some of these issues, many of the issues that he wrote, for instance, trying to address the issue of prophecy in the church, trying to address the issue of tongue speaking, trying to address the issue of concerning spiritual gifts. I do not want you to be ignorant, meaning that the people, though they were walking or they had certain manifestations, they were still ignorant of how it should operate. So what was the end? The end of it all was disorderliness. Hallelujah. Because now they started looking up to men. Me, I belong to this, I belong to that. Okay, I like the gift in this man. So now it brings divisions. First sign of carnality. He says, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual men, but I have to speak to you as if you are carnal. Why? Because there are still divisions what among you. It is in that same church that somebody has decided to take the father's wife, the father's younger wife, that is so dear to the father. Because they feel that they are clicking well. So now sleeping with your father's wife, and the people were so carnal and they couldn't judge rightly that this is a very wrong act. Rather, they saw it this way, that why would the father go and then pick someone that could be his daughter? So if it will be his daughter, then his son will chop. Do you understand the motive? So it's like, okay, let's leave it. But Paul had to condemn them, that no, this is an evil practice and it is not supposed to be done. He said, if anybody is involved, that let be far away from the person. That's when he started to speak about the need for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved. Just as separate from such a one. Then later, in the second epistle, he then instructed them that no, receive such a person. So he's warning you about the extremes that be going. So it was right. The corrective action was right in the sense that the guy realized that this thing that I'm doing, they all know is wrong, but this thing that the church or the people around me have endorsed, there nobody speaking about it. It is actually bringing separation between me and the church. I'm not having any family. I'm not having any. So that can lead to something else too. So he said, okay, now receive such a person and know how to deal with what such cases. You see, so that same church, many problems. Almost, he thought so much. You see, the epistles there, they are longer than the usual epistles. So most of the teachings concerning spiritual gifts is there. So your giftedness must not be equated to the virtues. If we do that, that means your vision has been obscured, and you can easily enter into what, how do you call it, deception. You can easily enter into a deception. There's a place where you need to activate your gifts to serve the body, because it is distributed to each and every one for the profit of all. Hallelujah. There be diversities of gifts, differences in administration, and all that. But it's distributed by one in the self same spirit for the entire body of Christ, so that the church will be what? Will be edified and all that. Or the church will be blessed by what each member can contribute to the body of Christ. But that is not the determining factor for maturity in the church of God. Hallelujah. Because to one will say that I have the gift of teaching. And you can see that I have the gift of teaching. So I can correct. I can bring so many. And one will say that, okay, I have the gift of prophecy. Me too, I can prophesy. But I will say, me too, I have the gift of faith. Then Paul will ask, are you all apostles? Are you all evangelists? Do you all perform healing? He's not talking about the general possibilities found in the life of the believers, but he was bringing what? Order in the church, because many people, when they take a particular position, they are likely to go to the extreme of that position. Do you get it? So now you see the teacher thinking that he can bring on earth every mystery out of the Bible. So you tell you that, no, how you are thinking, that is not what it is. Even when it is clear, it's plain for everybody to understand. Have you forgotten that one of the characteristics of the believers is that we are supposed to grow, we are supposed to be growing believers, like maturing believers, teaching believers. One of the hallmarks of maturity is that you grow to teach. Hallelujah. Amen. So for by this time that ye ought to teach others, ye now require that ye are taught over again the things which be the first principles of the teachings of Christ, of the doctrines of Christ. That means you have still come to need milk and not what? Solid food. What did he mean by that? He said if you continue to feed on milk, then obviously you are what? Inexperienced. So babyhood, inexperience. Babyhood, inexperience. Maturity comes with the experience, rightly dividing the word of God. And that is not the privilege or the right given to teachers as an apostolic teachers, or how do we call it, but even the believer. You are supposed to grow. You should be able to teach the word of God. That's how come you have disciples, men like Priscilla and Aquila, being able to, I mean, teach truth. They saw that, okay, this guy is good in the word, Apollos, but he's not getting it well. So let us sit him down and give him the foundation. If he gets the foundation with the gift of revelation that God has given him, he will now become what? A better person. Hallelujah. So when that foundation was laid, later Apollos became mighty. And see the comparison. Apollos what? Paul. And then what? Peter. That was what was bringing the big division there. But it was some of the believers that realized that we need to introduce him to what? The truth of scripture. So you need to really grow up in God, people. You need to really grow up in God and have very good reasons for the things that you do. Because if you don't have the good reasons, look, if you don't have the good reasons why you are seeking God, or while you are praying, I tell you, the day you have all your provisions met, you will not have a prayer topic. Why do you think, sometimes, you see, you hear stories that, okay, some people are going to report a particular church because the people think that you are disturbing God. You see, that is their mind. Like, in their mind, they have gotten everything, and maybe they even got it without God, or they got it, like, they are fine, they are sound. And every time you are doing all night, every time we hear you praying, God, open door. Lord, open door. Lord, let the riches come. Lord, it's like, what at all? The person doesn't understand what you are. No, let us report them. Have you realized that most of the aggressive prayers we pray is in this line? So I want us to change that kind of prayers. It is not healthy. Because the moment you have all your needs met, you will not have any need to pray. See the kind of prayers that we are supposed to pray. Paul has listed them in his epistles from the beginnings. You can look at Ephesians, the prayers in Ephesians. You have quite a number of them there. One of the prayers that should be very, very common is a prayer of thanksgiving. But then, aside that, when you look at the prayers that Paul prayed, these are prayers for revelation, to know the Lord Jesus, even upon all that has been shown to him. Prayer to grow in the virtues of God, character, that you manifest the life of God, that you manifest the love of God, that you speak the truth in what? In love. The prayer of what? Becoming like, taking up the burdens of the church. I mean, praying and interceding for the saints. That is prayer. Praying and travailing. What did Paul say? My children that I travail in bed unto Christ. You see the kind of prayer. So he's praying for what? Souls to be touched. Souls to be won. But it is revelation. Like it is the revelation of the Spirit. And when it came to needs, he knows that, yes, you need them. Jesus has even said, your Father knows that you need these things. And he has told you that you shouldn't what? Worry. So if Jesus has told you that you shouldn't worry, then why worry? Ask your neighbor, why worry? So look at it. I'm not saying that it's not important. When Jesus prayed, he said something about bread, right? Give us this day our daily bread. I've explained to you that, yes, in as much as you can make reference to the daily bread and all that, he is the bread of life. Amen. He's the living manna. Amen. He said all the encounters that our fathers had in the wilderness, God's provision and all that, he is that rock. That rock that brings what? The water that quenches what? Thirst. Is that well that Jacob's well, even greater than Jacob's well? So when it comes to the matters of your needs, it is very important for our survival here. But one thing you need to learn as a child of God is that as you are growing in God and in virtues, whether in abundance or in scarcity, you should be content. Are you here? This has led many men astray because they are not content with what they have. You hear people say statement like, I will do whatever I will do to become what? To become sound or to become rich. And it doesn't matter if they have to, whatever price that they need to pay, they'll pay that price. I think I saw a video where one man was at a fetish priest also. And they have done everything. So now what is left was that the goat had to take some steps. So the number of steps that a sheep or the goat will take will be the number of years that you live in your riches that the deity has offered to you. And now the goat is there, the goat is not moving. And you know it is timed. Nothing is free. It's only Jesus that is real. He's the one. He said, come and buy. Come buy, drink, eat freely without money. Hallelujah. This one, no free lunch. Then the goat took two steps and no more. And then the Sangoma had to say that you have a lot of abundance, riches, wealth, you have money, but you have 2 years to spend this money, then the deity will come for you. So man can go to any extent of even offering their souls. Offering is like trading their soul. The world is a very big marketplace. Hallelujah. It's a very, very big marketplace, spiritually and even physically. Everything is about trading. Transactions. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? So people are willing, okay, let me just give this. Let me have some money. Let me buy the Corolla. Then you live for like 2 years, 3 years. You see, some of these steps, they are very, very dangerous steps. I have seen, you know, when we're growing up, some of our mates had, I was exposed to computers at a very early age. But I realized that many of my mates knew things that I didn't know. So as a class 4, I know some things, maybe painting and those things like that. That's what I love to do when I go to the internet cafe. My uncle was running a cafe, so he was teaching me. I didn't know a lot of things, but at least I know something. But some of my friends were making so much money. Do you understand? They were making so much. How were they making the money? Fraud, like. And they look good. So some of them even stopped school. When we were going to JSS, they didn't go to JSS because they already had money. They were already coming from relatively better homes. There's money. But then they were exposed to what money to. So most of them started buying. They started wearing, you know how they wear their long dress and white. They start using cars. Young people. Very young people. Some were even bigger than me, like in size and all that. Only for me to finish. Are you listening? Only for me to finish school and then meet some of them. And you know what? It was that bad. I couldn't recognize them. I met one and he remembered me. And I said, wow. Because I was looking at his side because he was bigger than all of us. He was better, like. And now he was looking so slim. And then he was asking me money, troubling me for money. So I was wondering, is this not this guy that was so rich? Even at class 6. Because of that, many of them didn't feel that. I'm a brilliant guy. But the path taken. So there's nothing free. The choices that you make is very, very important. Sometimes if you don't get someone to really guide you and bring you to the right path, you end up destroying your life. So I realized that when the money was there, a lot of things came in. the Trinity I mentioned. Money, what? Beer, and what? Sex. Yeah. That Trinity. And it has messed him up. That is how bad it is. When I was talking to him, like, I realized, oh God, the pathways that we choose. Not all that glitters. So when you're raising your children, raise them with very good mentality. Teach them to stay away from greed. You don't, like, sometimes some of us, we just want overnight, how do you call it? You want what? Fast food. But you forgot that the person woke up in the morning. The fast food check that you just pack. Oh, give me 30 cedis or 50 cedis. And they just give it to you. Fast. The person woke up in the morning. You didn't see all of that. He soaked and marinated the chicken.
You are preaching.
Spiced everything up. The vegetables. Yeah, cook the rice. It's already in cooked rice and ice chest. So when you come, they just mix it for you and heat it up for you.
Okay.
Then you think it's what? Check, fast food. Anyway, it's fast food. So let's look at these things. These things can be very, very destructive. We need to have very good reasons why we pursue God, why we pray. Don't follow God for what you think you are going to get. That was not the life that, you know, when the early disciples, when they were chasing the Lord, it was very different. Like, all that they were seeing is death. Like, as in, they are doing this to the end. They upheld the testimony of the Lord Jesus. And they loved not their life even unto the death. Because Jesus himself showed the example. They have seen. They've seen him die, crucifixion. You want them to say that, but they didn't. Or it was not true. No. They can't do that sin. They believe it. They were there when the encounter came. They saw the visions. They experienced the transfiguration. I cannot lie about this encounter. I will hold on unto the testimony of the Lord Jesus, even to the end. That was their conviction. Before a corruption of the nature of the gospel, you know, I thought that any move that comes usually ends up going to the extreme, because whatever the, you know, when you seem to talk about one particular topic, that is what appears to be trending. It appears to be the most important at the moment. But you realize that there are, just as we have the human body, every part is also what? Important. You cannot just say that the body is just head. So you cannot just say that maybe the gospel of the Lord Jesus is just linked with, let's say, prosperity. Hallelujah. So that is what happened. And you have extremes. Some people said, okay, it is the healing only. So they, everything is connected to what? Healing. Other people, it is the angelic. With the angelic. So, they are exposed to a lot of deceptions too. To realize Angel Muhammad is visiting. Yes. Angel Amina. Like, you know, strange things. Then another will say, it is purely what? Prophetic. Purely prophetic. So when the Word of Faith movement, you know, it helped a little, I mean, bringing an awareness about the capabilities of God and all that, but you realize that the church became more of prosperity conscious. It's like, okay, God will give you this, God will give you that, God will give you that. So now people now started filling places because of, they know that when they get here, their solution will be met. Like, whatever need they are looking for, it will meet. And the power of God will move. I mean, the motive was right. It's still a revelation they had in the gospel. But the extreme of it, like having it not balanced, ends up corrupting the whole thing. So now people now think that, okay, it is all about God. It is all about, let's say, God giving you. And later, it became very transactional. Everything, okay, bring this, then God will do it for you. Bring this and God will do it for you. I happen to be invited by a friend, and what is this? Every second. So you go there and never return what they say. And never return, meaning that you go there full and you come back what? Empty, because they made a transaction. Okay. So this, okay, so this, so do that, do that. So it ends up, so now the end of it all is that now people will get tired. From the beginning, they're okay, we are just, it's transactional. God is doing this, God is doing that. But the end of it all, now people will say that, look, they don't have money. If they don't have money, they are not going to what? They are not going to church. Because the foundation is wrong in their mind. Church is all about what? Money. You, when you go, if you don't have money, you can't do anything. And you know, it also feeds on the pride of it. When usually people give, they feel important, sometimes front seat. So in order to continue, it's like they always want to what? So look, all of them, all the movements that came, they all have their extremes, because at the moment it seems to be the topic of the day, and if it is not properly balanced, then it becomes very, very corrupted. So now look, this is what is making the world to even sometimes laugh at the church, because now they begin to say that, you people, what have you manufactured, or what have you done, like, to help humanity? Yes, the church is building schools and all that, but now they'll start asking, okay, what invention have you brought? Or how wealthy are you? If you really say you are wealthy, how are you the richest person? The richest people in the world, they are not even there. So if you are saying your God will give you this, then that means whatever God they are worshipping might be bigger than your God. Do you see the thing? So in the early church, when they were going in, it's like they went all out for the Lord, like everything to the Lord. One preacher once said that, those days they didn't know that Jesus was going to delay the coming. If they knew that Jesus was going to delay the coming, they would have bought lands, more lands, they would have kept their lands and properties and things. You see their mentality. So you know, those days when they are even writing the letters, it's like expectation of the appearance of the Lord Jesus. We are waiting to be caught up. You know, it's like there's the desire to meet the Lord. And a generation after 2,000 years, he's not coming. Charlie, we better get real estate properties and gather some riches here on earth and all that. So it's a good vanity, but you realize that it's really, really vanity, because I know of people, I mean amazing people doing so well, then the next day the person is no more. So whatever you had in your bank account, whatever you had, even things that you have hidden, investments you have hidden, I mean, it is gone. You see, so we need to know the true source of life and value that life and have fellowship with that life, rather than just thinking that God will just answer all our prayers. It's a wrong motive. Many people are becoming, they're not telling you they are atheists, but you can see that there is a certain effect of external community. Like when they travel to external community, there's a certain effect that it has on them, on their mind. You might not believe God the way you used to believe God. You might even doubt some of the principles that you were taught in God's word. Have a reason for your pursuit of God. Know why you are following God. Know why you are praying. It must be for God's purpose and not necessarily what you want to see in your life. That will be a selfish interest. But God will still provide your needs. Amen. So I'm not against God providing your needs. I mean, God will provide your needs. But get it right. Because there's an atmosphere that you find yourself where things are easy. Things will be easy. The burden seems light. What will you pray about? So those lawyers that call and report, the lawyers, they are well to do. They might be getting their money. They'll just go, oh, some church is messing up. They are disturbing God. Or they are disturbing the area. They don't understand why you are praying like that. Henceforth, we need to change the focus of our prayers. We need to change the focus of our, like, even the reason why we study the word. Get it right. The interesting thing about the word is that when you begin to grow in faith, when you look at the characteristics of those that work with God, is that these all died in faith, not having obtained the promise, but you realize that they had a lot of godly visitations, manifestations. Some died, but they still held on to their faith and all that. Some stopped the mouth of lions. Some were thrown into fire. I mean, amazing testimonies that they had. Some became very mighty. Some were wealthy. God blessed them and all that. So now look, God, the scriptures are saying that these people, they embrace God. They embrace the word. They run along with the word. They love the Lord. God was their sole purpose. So whatever that you think you are seeking for, which you feel it will meet your present day need, why don't you get hold of God or the revelation of the scriptures? Because many of the things, is that all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. You see? So if you can capture the revelation that all things were made by him, then why won't all things be yours? Do you understand the mentality? You won't be troubled about these things. You have good things to pray about. Pray about your fellowship, having what? Fellowship with God. I don't want to say certain things, but you know, one man of God was bringing it to my mind that we have turned the African church or the Ghanaian church particularly into that. So there is no weight. Hello. There is no weight, because when you do the analysis, 90%, like, you realize that it's just for what we just get. There is no weight. There is no word. There is no proper maturity. Because of that, offenses in the church, anyhow. I'm not saying there are offenses everywhere, but we don't have the wisdom to manage some of these offenses. There's no love even amongst the brethren, even amongst the church leaders. No love, jealousy, hatred, envy. Last week when I read it, I'll read it to you before I go. Let's open Romans. Romans 1. We should know why we have been called. Romans 1. we should know why we have been called. Are you there? Romans 1, 14. He says that I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
I am a debtor. Like, I owe you. How many of you feel you owe somebody something? Have you realized that when you owe somebody, you don't feel free? If you are owing somebody, you don't feel free. Unless the person doesn't have good conscience. There are some people like that. When they are owing you, to them, when they were receiving it from you, it was a gift. Like, that's how their mind is. So me too, I've made up my mind that if I am helping you, in order for me not to be hurt, I'm helping you without any. If you bring it back, that's okay. But I know that you will not bring it back. So I'll help you with what I can help you with. You understand? Without expecting anything in return. If you thought, oh, you don't have money, okay. Oh, you need 200 cities. If I know that I don't have that capacity, and it's 100 cities I can give you, I'll give you the 100 cities. I'll not even be expecting that you bring it back. Some people have that mindset where they will even go and borrow from the banks and they will run away. Are you not afraid that your details are, you can be traced? Anybody that is in his right senses, you do not want to owe what? Anybody. Oh no, you don't want to owe anybody. Like, it is a burden. But now look at this. Paul is saying that, like, I am a debtor to both you people. Both the barbarians and the civilized, the Greek and the Jews. So now, if you owe somebody, you make effort to what? To clear your debt. That is the kind of burden that was on the apostles' heart. And that was what drove him. He said, woe to me if I preach what? Not the gospel. Why? It is the unto salvation to all those believe. It is the power of God. So do you know why you are like that? Because you don't really believe that it is the power of God, and you don't also believe that you actually owe the world this. You see why sometimes it appears like it's a calling, like it's as if special people have been called, like with the heart, oh, these people can do. Then sometimes we encourage the other, oh, if you cannot go, your money can go. No, you have to. You have to be part of the whole process. We are just finding passive ways of. And if you cannot go, your prayers, some people take the money and say, oh, what if I can support with prayers? No. Henceforth, let's cultivate this. You know, last week I was trying to talk about how we need to understand the master's mind, the king. The king wants everybody to come to the banquet. Hello? The king wants everybody to come. That is the burden of the king. So if you are also a child of God and also acting as a servant of the king, what will you do? You will be involved in what? Actually fulfilling the king's what? Burden. He said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. He said, I am not ashamed. Unashamedness. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It is the power of God. Maybe you have other alternatives as power of God. But if you are thinking like the apostle, this was his conviction. I am willing, whether in chains or whether free, Look, he calls himself even prisoner of the Lord Jesus. Prisoner. It means that he doesn't have his will. The prison, they will tell you when to wake up. When to what? When to go for lunch. When to... So it is solely by the master's instruction. His dreams are even different. This man will go and dream, then he will dream of somebody from Macedonia or something waving at it. Then he knows that God wants me to invade this place. What are the dreams you'll be having? What I ask you, so what was the last dream you had? Or ask your neighbor, what was the last dream you had? Some of you dream you are being chased. You dream what? You dream strange dreams. Instead of you dreaming, having encounters with God. Some of you don't even dream. I think 3 weeks ago, I was speaking about Daniel and how Daniel was very unique amongst Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And in the kingdom where they founded themselves as captives, they really rose to the high ranks. Look, how can a man go and dream about a dream that you had? What level of sensitivity in this? Like, I've had my dream. The king has had his dream. Then he has forgotten about the dream. Then none of his magicians, sorcerers, diviners could divine and tell him the exact dream. I said, these guys were 10 times better. And then the issue was brought to Daniel. And you have to go and see a vision or dream the dream that the king has forgotten. It is something. The Old Testament, that the folks that we say that you are greater than me. They were seeing the glory of God. They were having visions of wheels upon wheels. Do you understand wheels? Wheels with eyes. I don't know, maybe these cameras. Or wheels with eyes. Those days, visions of wheels within wheels. They were seeing swift movements of what? Beings. Visitations. Those are the dreams that they were having. Even in pain, in shipwreck and all that. It's like God even telling you of something that is about to happen. But still, he tells you that you'll be safe. Like, how did this man walk? Are we dreaming about? Sometimes, you know what? Your dreams is a reflection of the burden that you carry. It's a reflection of the burden that you carry. Because if you really have a burden for the Lord, your line of dreams, your thinking, everything, it will be in that line. But imagine you are filling yourself with all forms of what? Naughtiness and filthiness. What will be your dream? You will dream about succubus and incubus. No, I mean, if you are filling your mind with all sort of naughtiness and filthiness, what do you expect? You dream that somebody is sleeping with you, or somebody is on top of you, a demon is, somebody is incubating on you.
Hey, incubus.
Incubus.
Okay.
succubus, somebody is succumbing you. Hallelujah. Those are the things that you'll be dreaming about. Oh, you don't see that. So, it's a reflection of what you have been entertaining. Whilst others are dreaming of, imagine Jacob. Jacob even sleeping on a stone. And then what he saw was a ladder to the heavens. And angels of God ascending and descending. Say, Lord, help us.
Lord, help us.
Say, Lord, purify my mind. You should be dreaming. Your dream should be, you see yourself teaching the word, preaching the word, spreading the gospel to the ends of the world. Or great plans, God taking you somewhere. Or like, I mean, those are the things. But because you feed your mind with the wrong, that when you sleep, the walkman begins to play. It plays and it stirs up all sort of things within you. When you wake up, you are seeing the pictures on your eye. These are the things. You know, many things have actually invaded our space. Even as believers, it has even invaded the church. You know, in the Old Testament, when you're talking about some of these gods, these, you know, Baal, Ashtoreth, Molech. You know about Molech, right? They're taking their children through the fires. It has a connection with Gehenna, and all that. Baal. They are not like gods in our, like, as in the idols that we are. Now it has infiltrated the system. So it won't come and present itself as, oh, I'm the idol ruling the, ruling you in this direction. No. Some of you become so excited. Bacchus. It's wine and sex, right? So if you find yourself, you're so excited about that, you're like, you are drunk, you are lying. That was what was happening on Legon campus. You see people, brilliant people that have come to school to come and learn, but overwhelmed with drunkenness. And they are not able to even understand the origin, where it is coming from. Why would such an intellectual, and you lie in the garden for days to the next day, you wake up, you still can't walk. See, there are a lot of influences that appear as idols, but these are the things that have become the money, sex, and beer. That is what has become the idols. And those spirits, those ancient spirits, they're actually ruling through some of these things. So you come and say, oh, you are worshiping goddess Diana, or you are worshiping what, Ishtar, or something like that, but indirectly, the things that you are seeing, the things that you're observing, the systems. You read the book of Revelation, then you see the woman that's sitting upon what? The many waters, the great hall. And in your mind, you expect that a woman will arise from the sea, physically sitting on many waters. Why? No idea. This is ruling in the hearts of men. So some teaching his servants to commit fornication and all that. Like, so sometimes you want words. It is the spirits in control. But they don't appear as spirits. Like these things, I've been talking about these things for a long time now. You think it is society. Oh, society is advancing there. We need to learn tolerance and forbearance. In fact, the church, we are preaching tolerance among us and forbearance among us. So the world is also saying that we should be able to have tolerance. You need the eye of the Spirit to discern what manner of spirit is operating. The business at work. You are fully working, so be discerning. Tell us about be discerning. Wake up from your slumber. Okay, so this is mine. I am a debtor. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are wrong also. Now in our generation, if you say we are going to preach somewhere, tell you there's no money. There's no money. You can't go to do crusade, no money. But this is what he said. He was willing to preach to those people at Rome, meaning that he has preached to some people, and he was willing to also continue. Money shouldn't be a hindrance. Whatever opportunity that we have, we should be able to use it. You know, God's commandments, they are not really that burdensome. So like Jesus giving you a command, he didn't say that if you the instructions, okay, yes, definitely the gospel will get to the ends of the world. But we are not saying that stand up and all of a sudden just go to places where you might not even have the capacity to, even in your environment. Hallelujah. If God blesses you with the capacity, or you have a system with the capacity, that's fine. You invade all those areas. But that should not make you sit down idle. You must feel. You must know that you are a debtor. You owe people the gospel. It's like you owe them. Go and pay them the gospel. You owe them the gospel. Go and pay them. Okay. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so my focus here said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So, remember I was saying that when it comes to the nature of your spirit, what you have is the engrafted word. James says it. So receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is supposed to save us. Meaning that your being, your nature is actually the word of God. You were born again by the incorruptible life of God. Incorruptible seed of God's word. Yes. That is what gave birth to you. So now, he said, they did not like to retain. So now, there's the function of the soul here. So, you can be like this, like the church of Corinth. They've been introduced to the power of God. They know something about the gospel, but they were babes. And their behavior was very carnal. And the only way they could also be transformed was to have in their memory the word of God. they were not having that transformative process. They were not having that corrective measures. They were just behaving like babies. So that's why I made a statement that, look, if you decide not to remind yourself of the nature that you have within, don't assume that you are not exposed to any other thing. If you decide not to have your mind constantly renewed, or if you decide to disengage yourself from the mind of Christ, don't think that, oh, my mind is just blank and empty. There's nothing like empty space. Hallelujah. Even when it came to the demonic, if a demon is even casted out of a person, what does he do? He goes and searches for what? Demons that are strong. This is a spiritual reality. He goes and searches for something that is what? Stronger. Demons that are stronger. Then they come back. If the place has not been occupied with anything, there's no word of God, there's no spirit of God, there's no fellowship of the brethren, there's no partnership or with the saints or even any involvement, what do you think will happen? The place is not, there's no activity. So it will give room for them to come and squat. Squatters. Hallelujah. So they will come and occupy the place. So the corruption, sometimes it is gradual. You see, it is gradual. It's like, oh, they know God. Because he said they knew God, but they did not glorify him as God. And even if they did not know God, when it comes to like, I mean, you understand of God like this, even the creation shows the invisible attributes what of God. When you look at the orderliness and everything, you should be able to tell that there is a someone behind, there's an architect or designer, but they decided to what? Not to retain God in their mind. So it was a decision not to be involved in anything spiritual. And you see the fruits of it. You see, it is just like the works of the flesh. This is talking mainly about unbelievers, but you realize that the comparison is just like the works of the flesh. That is also so possible in the life of believers when they do not have their minds what renewed. Let's go. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those which are not what convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So they were filled with what? All unrighteousness. Remember when he was talking about the works of the flesh, you see a lot of them here. Being filled with all unrighteousness, then fornication, then what? Wickedness. Some people are very wicked. Covetousness, maliciousness, full of what? Envy. But you see, when you grow in God, then even as a child of God, when you are growing in God, you realize that why would you be jealous of a brother? But even in the church of God, there is jealousy. So it's a clear sign of the work of the flesh, a clear sign of what? The love of God not operating, immaturity. You see a pastor hating another pastor, and sometimes working plots. Like, what is all this? It is purely of the flesh. Covetousness. Why will I covet? Like, why will I? Paul will tell you he has learned to what? To abase and then to abound, whether in plenty or in scarcity. I mean, he's okay. Those are the things that you don't have to envy anyone. Rather, if anything closer to that, maybe you see it as a motivation. Fine. Oh, brother, how did you make it? Like, you associate, and then that thing will also rub off on you. Because the people you associate with, whatever secret that they have, they can reveal it to you. And then you also make it in life. But why would you hate? Covetousness, all these things, wickedness, maliciousness, debates, unnecessary debates, deceit, malignity, someone who malign you, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, they despise, The proud. You see this? It's mentioned there. And this is very common even in the church. Proud. Boasters. The inventors of what? Evil things. Disobedient to parents. You see, recently I was studying. Now, where we think we are heading, this child right. I'm not saying children should have, everybody should have right. In fact, right to life, right to freedom. And, I mean, you have all those things. Your freedom and what? Rights and what? Freedoms and privileges.
Freedom and justice.
You have it. But this child right thing that they are doing, we can see the corruption. We should be careful of what we actually endorse. Because it will tell where we are also heading to. Disobedient to parents. Children that are coming up, they don't even obey their parents. When you speak to them, they don't listen. I'm a poemi. Child delinquency. Okay. Without understanding, covenant breakers without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are not worthy of, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also have pleasure in them that do them. So some will say, oh, me, I'm not, I don't involve myself in this, but you're excited when people are engaged in all of these things. He said, you're a partaker of the same. So these are the things that comes up when we do not have priorities to retain God or to fellowship with God. You cannot just be there and say that you are not thinking. How did you know that you are not thinking? It will even take a thought process to bring out that word. Oh, I'm just there. I'm just there, nothing. Are you sure? Do you know the whispers? Do you know the voices around? Sometimes the things that you do you know their voices? What do they tell you that, oh, okay, go and do this. It is a voice, like it's a voice of your flesh. Oh, nothing is going on. What can I do to occupy myself? If you do not set your goals right, if you do not have the things you want to think about, you have challenges. So set your goals right. Seek the Lord. Know the Lord, like, for yourself. Know the Lord for yourself. Have very good reasons why you practice spirituality. Have very good reasons. And change your prayers and your seeking of God from just what you want to receive from God. Because the day you get it all, you have no reason to stay with Him. Let's love the Lord. Let's be upstanding.